It's baffled scholars for two millennia. It is a puzzle made of multidimensional elements. An enigma with roots that reach back to the dawning of time, perhaps before. Daniel explained part of it. Ezekiel and Isaiah had glimpses into it. John saw it all for the time of the end. That time is now. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert on a journey that spans the course of history. From Eden to Mount Hermon. From Hermon to Babel. From Babel to Rome. From Rome to the cross. And from there to us. Biblical prophecy is coming true before your eyes. And to understand it, you must discern the times both then and now. It's time to unravel the threads of this all-encompassing prophetic paradox. It's time to unravel Revelation.
Welcome to Unraveling Revelation. I'm Derek Gilbert.
Hi, I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we're delighted that you've chosen to join us once again. And we are continuing our study, trying to get to the 10 kings of Daniel 7.
Current events keep getting in the way.
They do. Well, you know, Lord love them, the people in Ukraine. They would love it if they hadn't gotten on the news headlines.
That is so true. And they would prefer that the book of Revelation and the other parts of the Bible that relate to it weren't suddenly so much more relevant than they were just a few months ago.
They really would. We've had a number of things happen in the last few days. If you've been watching the news, then you know that our own president went over to Poland and he gave a speech that was impassioned. I credit him for that. He did say a couple of things that have had to be walked back by Blinken and others. One of them seems to imply that he would like to see someone else in Putin's chair. Mm-hmm. I really don't think he was implying regime change.
Well,
I think he wanted the Russian people to have a say in it.
Whether he did or did not. Yeah, and I agree with that. The message that came from the White House after he was done was that what he was actually implying was that the world's democracies need to be prepared for a long, drawn-out conflict in Ukraine. And that is something that was confirmed by a story the week prior in the New York Times, saying that we're hoping to draw Russia into a quagmire in Ukraine, which certainly would weaken the Putin regime, but it's not good news for the people of Ukraine who would like to get back to normal life.
They really would. It's terrible for the people of Ukraine, and there are weapons being used in Ukraine that may or may not be legal according to the Geneva Convention. There are some who, and sorry, we're doing politics again. We can't help it. There are some who say that phosphorus and other weapons that are chemical weapons have been used. I saw a general reporting today on Sky News saying that phosphorus is used in the battlefield all the time as tracer to see where your weapons have gone. About every 10th one, you have a phosphorus tip on it so you can see it. I'm not sure that that's a great, you know, pleasant event for anybody who's in the line of those phosphorus. But I've also seen others claiming that Putin intends to use biochemical weapons or biological weapons. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know who holds tomorrow. We know who's holding today. We know who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and who is still in charge of the world.
Amen. And all of this talk about the Ten Kings relates to what's happening there, because certainly as this war has unfolded, more and more people, as we've discussed over the last couple of weeks here on Unraveling Revelation, want to know whether the War of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38 and 39 have to do with what is taking place in Ukraine.
That is absolutely right.
And we think.
You keep going, because I need to actually find some.
That's why I was vamping for you there.
Sorry, you paused, and I thought, oh, I've got to jump in. That's what happens.
It's my need for oxygen.
Honey, don't stop breathing. Come on.
As we've discussed, and this relates to our conversation today and our discussion study for the next couple of weeks, we, I think, have tended to desupernaturalize the Bible in general, but end times prophecy in particular, in looking for geopolitical characters in the natural realm to fulfill the role of what should be supernatural characters in end times prophecy. When Ezekiel and Daniel and Joel and Zechariah and John and were and Paul were referring to characters that will play important roles in the last days. These are supernatural entities. And when we try to find a human ruler to fill the role of, say, Gog of Magog, mm-hmm. or the Antichrist, I mean, there will be a human who's indwelt by a spirit that we will call that character the Antichrist, mm-hmm. but there's a spirit behind him, and he's the one, or it is the one, that we need to be looking at. And that's what we're going to do as we analyze the Ten Kings.
That is so, so true. Well, let's dig in.
In Daniel chapter 7, I want to go back to the fourth beast because this begins the study here. Daniel 7, beginning at verse 7.
To start at 1, you don't have to do a commentary, but let's give them some context.
Okay.
This is the angel revealing what is really going on in mm-hmm. Daniel's dream.
So the four beasts, which, again, are relevant because the beast that emerges from the sea in Revelation 13 is an amalgam mm-hmm. or a chimera of these four beasts.
May I ask you a question before we get into sure. this really quickly? Belshazzar, he is the son, he's the regent. Is mm-hmm. that not correct?
Yes.
So Nabonidus, his dad,
right.
was actually the king.
That's correct.
And he was off doing other things.
Yes. Nabonidus, the last king of Babylon, spent about 10 years living at an oasis in the desert called Tama, which was a center of the moon god cult. And this is relevant because Nabonidus' mother, who was probably Assyrian.
Oh.
And bear in mind that the Chaldean kingdom of Babylon earned its independence when Nebuchadnezzar and his father, Nabopolassar, defeated the remnant of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians had controlled the mm-hmm. ancient Near East until that point. So the Chaldeans rose up, fought a battle against them. It was in 609, if I remember correctly, that King Josiah of Judah was killed trying to stop Pharaoh Necho of Egypt, who was going north to try mm-hmm. to assist the Assyrians. And Judah was trying to put a stop to that. Mm-hmm. And they fought at Megiddo, and Josiah was killed in battle.
You need to know history. By the way, the Nabu part of that
yes.
name relates to a god,
yes.
Nabu.
Yes. And
who's really interesting.
He truly is. He was the god of ledgers, the god of accounts, mm-hmm. the god who tracked all of the tithing to the temples of Babylon. He was also the god who was later known as Hermes and Mercury by the Greeks and Romans.
Exactly, the one who controlled
commerce.
The economy.
Right,
yes.
Right. In fact, commerce and mercantile and merchant all comes from the same root as the
Mercury.
Root behind Mercury.
Yes, so we've got this.
Stuff.
Belshazzar is also
yes.
the one who had the infamous dinner.
Right. Right, which was in honor of the moon god. I wrote about that in my book, Bad Moon Rising. Belshazzar was left as regent while Nabonidus was out in the desert, probably trying to gain control over the spice trade coming from South Arabia to the port of Gaza, which then shipped spices to the rest of the Mediterranean world. It's
okay.
how they gained their wealth.
Okay.
But
so in context,
yeah.
this is who this is.
Yeah. In the first year of Belshazzar, king, regent, actually, of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another.
Okay, so you want to stop for a minute, because I know it's been a while since we studied this part of it. Reminder, for context, the Great Sea can also be this great sea monster.
Yes, a representation of primordial chaos.
Exactly.
Yeah. The name Sea, Yam, is the name that the Canaanites applied to their version of Leviathan, chaos.
And it's important because we see that beast soon.
Mm-hmm. Different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and the mind of a man was given to it.
In the Septuagint, it says lioness.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to bookmark that idea, because if this is a lioness, then this relates to an entity that we know all too
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
She runs the world.
Yes. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side, it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and behold, another like a leopard, with four wings of a bird on its back, and the beast had four heads, and dominion was given to it. And we talked about these in a study just a few weeks ago, the nations that they represent, likely the Chaldean Empire,
mm-hmm.
the Persian, or the Medo-Persian, and then the Greek. And then verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which 3 of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things.
This is a passage that prophecy scholars and pastors and students, everyone, we've all been trying to figure out exactly what this means. I've seen British Israelism use these this idea of replacement theology. This is sometimes used as part of that. But I want to go to the Septuagint again and read this little bit. And there came up 4 beasts, great beasts, out of the sea, differing from one another. Verse 4, the first was as a lioness, and her wings as an eagle's. I beheld until her wings were plucked, and she was lifted from off the earth, and she stood on human feet, and a man's heart was given to her. Now, I want you to bookmark that idea, that she's lifted off the earth, and she stands on human feet. Human feet.
Instead of the heart of a man.
And
or
a
mind
heart,
of a man.
Yes, and a man's heart is given to her. Because I'm going to talk about this later when we discuss the Whore of Babylon.
Okay.
So bookmark that.
So the fourth beast, a representation in all likelihood, scholars generally agree that this represents Rome and what Rome became. We've argued in our book, Giants, Gods, and Dragons, that the rider on the white horse in Revelation 6, the first rider representing Apollo, going forth conquering and to conquer, that his conquest is Western civilization. In fact, had a roundtable discussion for my personal podcast just a couple of weeks ago with Dr. Judd Burton, Doug Van Dorn, and Brian Godawa. So we've got a pastor, an archaeologist, and a Hollywood screenwriter and novelist,
who's and a
also
geek.
Very and a geek. But we were discussing this very thing that
it's a cute little geek
that Western civilization appears to have been elevated, and by Western civilization, Western Europe, and then the United States as a nation settled mainly by European settlers, that the storm god, or the entity who presented himself to the world as the storm god, Baal, then Zeus, then Jupiter, Thor, just moved his base of operations farther and farther west as the center of political and military power moved further and further west over the centuries. We were discussing this in the context of struggles in the spirit realm and how Satan became Satan. Jesus identified Baal and Zeus in the New Testament, Matthew 12 and Revelation 2, as the storm god, Baal and then Zeus. It's not coincidental, in my view, that the United States Capitol is named the Capitol because that's the name of the temple of Jupiter, the Roman storm god.
I agree with
you. The Capitolium.
Yeah.
So we have seen the god of this world, according to Jesus, manifesting as the storm god for at least two millennia, because in Matthew 12, Jesus said that Satan has a kingdom. So and we've covered all of this, but the question then is, what are these other entities? We look at these 10 horns and tend to look at them as human rulers, but as we go further down in Daniel chapter 7, and we'll see this also in Revelation chapter 17, which essentially are chapters that complement. You cannot understand the one without the other. Daniel 7, beginning at verse 21, he's talking about the small horn now, which we, as we discussed previously, is...
back up to 19.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but right, that's where I was looking for. Then I desired to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, and which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet, and about the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up, and before which three of them fell. The the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things and that seemed greater than its companions. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them. And as we discussed previously, the word translated saints there, kedeshim, or kadesin in Aramaic, is the same word used for the watchers in Daniel chapter 4.
Yes.
So this is a war in the spirit realm where the Antichrist, the little horn, who scholars have agreed bears a striking resemblance to Typhon, the chaos monster mm-hmm. of Greek myth, Greek religion, actually, is waging war with the saints, with the loyal angels, and prevailed over them. He was winning,
yes.
or he will be winning as this takes place.
He's allowed to think he will.
Right. Until, verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High, and the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Judgment was given. By whom? We see later that a court sits
yes.
and judges. That's interesting because who's on that court? Is this the divine council or is this humanity?
I think it's both. I think we see a combination. Finally, the whole family's together.
Do you not know that we shall judge angels?
Yep.
So verse 23, thus he said, as for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms, and it shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it to pieces. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom, 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones and shall put down 3 kings. So the question is, these Malachim,
mm-hmm.
or Melachim, in Aramaic, actually, it's Malkin,
mm-hmm.
are these spiritual, supernatural kings? Are these human? I think we're looking at supernatural entities here.
I think there are so many supernatural creatures in this vision that they'd almost have to be.
Because in verse 25...
For one thing, they're attached to this...
This entity, right.
Entity chaos.
Right. And as verse 25 says, he shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Again, the holy ones, the kedeshim,
mm-hmm.
the watchers. Not likely that a human is going to be able to do that. So we're looking at a supernatural entity here working through a human.
And we'll continue to work through this when we come back from the break.
Welcome back to Unraveling Revelation. I'm Derek Gilbert.
Hi, I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we would love for you to join us in Turkey in October of 2022. That's this year.
Yes, we'll be there between October 18th, and November 3rd as we visit the cities of the churches of Revelation, which includes a side trip when we're at Pergamon to a place called the Plutonion, named for the Roman god of the dead, Pluto,
mm-hmm.
Literally the gates of hell.
Yeah, there are so many places. We can't list them all, but if you go to skywatchinturkey.com, all the information is right there, and mm-hmm. we would love for you to join us. The slots are filling up quickly, though, because we only plan on taking a couple of dozen people.
Mm-hmm. So go to the website, or if you want to scan the QR code on your screen, do that. That'll take you right there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Itineraries there, breakdown of costs, and, of course, a place to reserve your spot on the tour of Turkey with us.
I know, and we're going to go to Israel next March. 2023. Go to skywatchinisrael.com, skywatchinisrael.com. All the info's there. And we are taking a couple of buses, and there's a possibility we'll take even more. So lots of spots left.
Mm-hmm. This will be a tour of Israel unlike any other. We'll see all the places you want to see. We'll go to Jerusalem. We'll go to Nazareth. We will worship on the Sea of Galilee. We'll dip into the Jordan River. We'll worship there. And if you've not been baptized, what better place to do it than in the Jordan River?
It's incredible.
But we'll also see places that are not on most tours, like Gilgal, Rephaim, and the Serpent Mound of Bashan.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also see Joshua's Altar, where they had that very exciting discovery recently, the lead tablet, the curse tablet from Mount Ebal.
I know, isn't that exciting? And
yes,
there are other things we can't tell you about that we just found out regarding that same discovery. Aaron Lipkin and we had a little chat yesterday morning, and it looks like Israel is opening up entirely. So back to the good old days.
Yes.
So if you're interested in going to Israel with us, please go to skywatchinisrael.com.
Or scan the QR code here on
the
screen.
Yeah, QR codes. You're so clever.
Yeah. Well, Daniel 7, we see this supernatural entity representing 10 horns. Out of this kingdom, 10 kings shall arise. The question then becomes, what is the kingdom? If we're talking about a supernatural entity, a supernatural king, supernatural kings,
the implication is that this overall king of kings,
mm-hmm.
because that's what this entity is going to pretend to be. He's going to pretend to be the king of kings. Therefore, he will have kings around him. He's setting up his infernal assembly on earth
mm-hmm.
with 10 kings underneath of him.
What's
10 entities that play ball.
Interesting. Yeah. What's interesting here is that three of them will be put down by this one
mm-hmm.
who emerges. And that suggests that not all of these entities in the fallen realm are cooperating.
They don't all get together.
They compete with one another just mm-hmm. as they are trying to set up a kingdom that overshadows that of God Most High.
Oh, yeah. Well, in Revelation 17, we have sort of a parallel look at the woman arrayed in scarlet mm-hmm. or purple. And I personally believe this is the god slash goddess of this world, an entity known in Mesopotamia as Inanna.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a lot of other names, and she has fooled a lot of young people and even older people, sadly, into thinking that her way is the best way.
Mm. She is the first gender-fluid entity on the planet.
Yes, she was famous for being able to turn the left side into the right and the right side into the left. In other words, she could change her gender.
Mm-hmm.
She could turn a girl into a soldier, or a soldier into a girl.
Right.
It was all, her priests had to castrate themselves in mm-hmm. order to qualify.
Yeah. She was known in many different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
She was known as Aphrodite to the mm-hmm. Greeks, Venus to the Romans, but Astarte in the Bible.
She also has a warrior aspect, and
right.
it's not a strategic, sort of cold and calculating. No, this is I want my sword bloody up to the hilt
right.
war.
Anat, the Canaanite war goddess, was represented that way, just wearing mm-hmm. heads as a girdle around her, or a belt around her her tunic and mm-hmm. garment.
Yes.
Unbridled, mindless bloodlust.
Well, in Revelation 17, we see a picture of this woman who's running the world, she thinks, and she's sitting on a great beast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That seems very similar to the Daniel 7 beast.
Right.
But I think this beast is only allowing her to believe she is the king slash queen of this world.
Right.
But she's got a surprise coming.
In Revelation 17, beginning at verse 9, John is given the explanation. Actually, beginning at verse 7, the angel said to me, "Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns that carries her." And when you go back to Daniel 7, you realize that those four beasts together mm-hmm. have 7 heads and 10 horns. It's
exactly.
not a coincidence. John knew Daniel and was writing under the influence
yes.
of the Holy Spirit, citing the vision that Daniel had been
Amen.
Given. "The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to rise from the bottomless pit, the abyss, and go to destruction." This is one reason we believe we're dealing with the spirit of Leviathan, chaos here. which was subdued in Genesis 1, mm-hmm. verse 2, as God hovers over the Tahom, the deep, which is a cognate for Tiamat in Sumerian, their version of Leviathan, chaos.
In other words, the Holy Spirit was down boy.
Yes, subdued but not destroyed.
Right.
So chaos is still influencing the world to this day.
Oh, yeah.
Like a mafia boss in prison.
Like chaos has little puppets that he, she, it is mm-hmm. manipulating.
So it was and is not because it's in the bottomless pit, mm-hmm. but will come back. But apparently when it does, again, we see that there's the little horn, which is the same as this entity, chaos, tears down three of these other supernatural kings
yeah.
before it. Who those are, we can only speculate. No way to know.
Some sort of spirit kings that,
right.
that think that they are going to rule the world with their buddy.
I wonder if this, well, again, this gets really weird and speculative and no time to do it with 2 minutes. Anyway, the dwellers on earth whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will marvel to see the beast because it was and is not and is to come. This calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. There are also seven kings, five of whom have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. And when he does, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast that was and is not, it is an eighth, but it belongs to the seven, and it goes to destruction. And the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast.
Right. Now, there are a lot of things in here to unpack, and we don't have time, so we'll have to really continue on this next week. But the idea that we see the number 10 again, the number 7 again, the idea of a beast again, mm-hmm. the idea of temporary power again, the idea of taking down dominion and then, you know, the Lord coming in at the end. I think that we are seeing, as you mentioned, that John is referencing Daniel 7.
Yes, absolutely. Scholars have been arguing for 2,000 years and debating and studying and trying to analyze and look for clues. The one thing I think we can say for certain is that we're dealing with supernatural entities here more so than human kings. Now,
yes.
There are humans who are serving these entities.
Yes.
And we can perhaps identify some of those, but...
But we won't.
Yeah, I don't know that we can.
Well, the ones in the past we might be able to-ish. But we'll tell you next week why the mountains aren't here on earth, the seven mountains.
Ooh. Yes. Sorry, my brain just kind of sort of clicked into gear here. Yeah. So next week we'll pick up with Revelation 17 mm-hmm. and how that builds on Daniel chapter 7 and the destruction of the prostitute, the woman in scarlet,
mm-hmm.
who, again, I think you've got a pretty good handle on identifying her and which entity she is. We think we know who the beast is, the spirit of chaos, Leviathan,
mm-hmm.
who is not yet destroyed, but a day is coming, according to Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1, a day is coming when the Lord will crush the heads, plural, of Leviathan. But, boy, how do we untangle these 10 kings?
Well, we'll try that next week. In the meantime.
Oh, thank you for watching. This is Unraveling Revelation.